to tell you how you can make it to heaven doing the least that you have to, that's possible, that you want to do, and that's a lie. Let's look to see if in our world today there are wars or cyber wars or maybe biomedical wars or economic wars, etc. Let's look at verse number 6 of Matthew 24. Verse 6 says, "And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Yep, we're good so far. Look around the world, the globe, those that are fighting, those that are going against one another, the countries that are sizing up the others, bombing them, people everywhere running and fleeing from war-torn countries. Well, how about pestilence? So how about famines? How about earthquakes? Let's look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." So far, in our end time checklist, I believe we got 3 out of 3. Look at our own pandemic. Look at around the world at the famines that it's going to strike a country. Some of these countries are going to be worse off than others. And tonight, we've just begun on this checklist. Right now, we're just formulating. Where are we in the world? Where are we at this time? Where's the clock? We need to see if nature, as we know it, is or maybe has gone crazy. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." I think what people are referring to that today is global warming. Places that used to be cold are warming up. And the places that are supposed to stay warm are experiencing the reverse. And then Jesus says through the words of Luke, "Now more than ever before in the world today, we're truly experiencing" what? "A distress of nations, anguish, misery, concern, worry." The Bible says with perplexity. What does that equal? That equals puzzlement, confusion, bewilderment. They're talking about how over in the Arctic right now, the ice is melting off and breaking off. They're talking about sea levels rising. Oh, don't worry. That's okay. We're just getting ready for our trip. You had better be ready for your trip. Worldwide flooding. Unexpected natural disasters in places where for years it would have been unimaginable. Many people today live in fear and are living in fear as it is they who look at what's going on. Well, why are they doing that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of all that is going on, that has been going on, and what's happening around us and globally. Look what's happening right today. Look at the grip and that power of the government. Look at this pandemic that is just out of control. Look at people. They're giving up their lives. They're taking these ships from what they figure is from bondage and slavery and from starvation, and they're crossing oceans and dying. They're doing whatever to get away from all around the world. Everywhere you look, the checklist continues on. How about the fact that God's people, maybe Christians around the world, are being and becoming martyrs? Let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, let's look at verse number 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Along with this comes the fact that great offense and betrayal, including a spirit of hatred, is in our world today. Matthew 24, verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." And yet, you know, Jesus' checklist for we as his people, it doesn't stop there. Matthew 24 again, verses 11 and 12. Listen to this. "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." False prophets. Look at our world. Christianity as we knew it. Christianity as we know it. You can look at some people's lives and say, that's not right. People are being deceived. Sure they are. So-called Christians are choosing to forego a walk of holiness and separation from the world in the name of tolerance and grace. As it is they, maybe you, who's backslidden, maybe this is because they, along with you, no longer really believe that Jesus is coming back anytime soon. I remember as a young man, just a boy growing up, when I knew my mom was going out, my mom and my stepdad, we got into more trouble than you could shake a stick at, because we knew that they wouldn't be back until the bars were closed. And so we got into as much trouble as we can. People today, oh, they're just pushing it off, you know. Are you ready for your trip? Yeah, sure am. You know, I'll get packed up the day before. Really? Maybe it's because Jesus is tarrying that some have chosen to turn their backs upon a godly life and a lifestyle, and now they're chosen to salt their Christianity, pardon me, with a little bit of God and a whole lot of the world. I don't get any lightning bolts. Doesn't seem like God's going to get after me. Said another way, no accountability to anyone but themselves. Yep. No accountability. So far, so good. And right now, if we continue to look at our checklist, let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 13. The book of Mark, chapter 13. Begin our reading again this time. Verse number 30. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass until all these things be done. It was on May the 14th of 1948 that a generation, in terms to that of our world, passed, for it was the Jewish people who once again had gained the status of their own Israelite nation. It was God's people who had been scattered, who now had returned to the place of their promise. The promise that God said was your own land. They went from all corners of the world. It was a different world now. It was a different generation. Instead of being scattered, they returned. Ready? What it is so far that I've been sharing with you tonight is this. It's a checklist of the time in history called the end times. You think of what's going on. Are we packed? Are we ready? Are we praying? We talked about the altar. Have you built an altar? You're thinking about where you're going? You're thinking about how you're going to get there? All of what is in view of what Jesus said was to come to pass and would be what was going to come to pass as the day and the hour of his return draws nigh. And you know, the scary thing is, church, he says he's coming, but how many of us really do sleep? Let's look at Luke chapter 17. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. The Bible says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. People are eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. Today in the world that we're living in, marriage is no longer until death do us part. But it's until, you know, changes. What it is I'm saying to you is that marriage is no longer a sacred vow. People's commitment to one another is now more than ever before in the history of the world. That's fast fading away. They're not faithful to God. They're not faithful to one another. Not faithful to family. And ask you tonight to consider just what it is that people in the days prior to Jesus' return were going to be doing. I'll tell you what they're going to do. Focusing on their pursuit of pleasures and not their need of focusing on God and the things of God. I'm going to plan to do tomorrow. I'm going to go on this trip. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to acquire that. But in a few verses of scriptures, just in these few verses of scripture, it's Jesus who plainly states that this pleasure-seeking world and what would be going on would go on until. Go ahead and play. Go ahead and miss church. Go ahead and forget about being faithful. Go ahead and just live your life for your pleasures. Go ahead and don't get yourself ready for your trip. Don't make sure you're packed and ready to go. Forget about looking up because your redemption draws nigh. It's not time yet. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be cool. Oh, yes, it's not going to be cool. It's going to be hot because if you don't make it, you're going to not go to heaven, but you're going to end up in that place called hell. If you're not prepared, if you're not packed, how many of you would say, well, you know what? We wanted to go to this place, and right now you can't go really much anywhere. You want to fly to a destination of a vacation, and the night before you go down to the airline place, and you say, I'd just like to book a ticket. I'm sorry, that tickets, they were sold out weeks ago. I just want to get a reservation at that hotel. I'm sorry, but that was a month ago. You should have planned. What do you mean a month ago? And here the church is. What is it? Jesus has promised to come back for over 2,000 years. Jesus said, I want you to watch. I want you to pray. I want you to be ready. I want you to be a people that are looking and longing for my return. And one day he's going to go, knock, knock. You open the door and there he stands. Tonight, as we look to just kind of complete a basic list of the signs and the warnings, shall I say, from God to all of us that would be what's going to happen to we as God's people and what we should do more than we've ever done before. Could it be that the COVID, coronavirus is just a forerunner, a forewarning? It's just a foreshadow? Look how fast they took control. Look how fast we got restricted in our freedoms. Look how fast the shelves got empty in the supermarkets. Look how fast everything's closing down, shutting down. And what are you going to do about it? Look how fast there's an emergency called. National emergency. I heard the other day that Trudeau was talking about enacting the War Act. We don't got no coronavirus here. It's not a big deal, really. Really. And as you watch, as it spreads in every place and everywhere. And you know what? I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be concerned. You better be concerned. Our need as a people of God is to be watching and praying. And through the writings of the book of Luke in chapter 21 this time, church. Luke chapter 21. Verse 34 through 36. Listen to this. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and the cares of life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray, always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed. Well, you know, he's given me no warning. I didn't know we were going anywhere. I didn't really think he was coming back. As a snare, it's going to come upon the world. As a snare, it's going to take them in the unaware. And what does he say? Pray, watch. Make sure you're accounted worthy to escape these things. Does anybody understand what I'm sharing with you? This is a checklist. We're just looking at things that are going on. Well, it's a fairy tale. Really? It's all make-believe. This COVID-19, it's just a game. They're playing us. Now more than ever before, church, in the history of the world, it is we, the church, and you as a child of God, who in your walking and your living your life for Jesus Christ, needs to be the one watching and praying. I believe that God has got a message to the church. build your altar, have that altar, have that prayer life, be focused on God. You know what, we can look around, oh, look what's over here. What did he say? Don't worry what's going on in the world. Look at Jerusalem and all the armies compass it. Look what's going on. Just keep your eyes on the clouds. Watch for Jesus Christ. Don't be foolish. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But watch and pray. Be aware of your surrounding, what's going on. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Are you ready to go? Let's say the spiritual taxi pulls up outside your place. What are you going to do? Grab a garbage bag or maybe one suitcase and throw some things in it and go running out the door, spiritually speaking? But as you, as we who go through the checklist of these end times, unless you've turned a blinded eye and a deaf ear to all that's going on around us in a world like never before, is God's church. It's his bride. It's the one who must ensure at all times to be and to make herself ready. We don't have time to play church no more. We have no more time just to put things off until another day. It doesn't matter what gets in the way. You know what? What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. We've got responsibilities in this life. We've got jobs that we have to take care of. We've got our families and ourselves to take care of and to feed and clothe and on and on. But you know what's most important? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? All right, just a few more items to check off tonight. How about what the Bible says and about these end times that the gospel is going to be preached into the entire, to the whole world? Let's go back to the book of Matthew 24. Book of Matthew chapter 24. And let's read verse number 14. And the Bible says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and what? And then shall the end come." Here again, it's Jesus who declares the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Ready? And just how is this going to be accomplished? Television, the internet, how about every other modern media outlet and access to worldwide preaching? Like never before in the history of the world have we had much access. If you want to go places, get on your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, go onto your computer. You can go anywhere in the world. You can find out about anything, anywhere, at any given time. Well, what about the gospel? Well, I'm not sure, Pastor, that I can believe all this, you know. That's okay. Because what I can tell you tonight, church, is the checklist that we've gone through, we're going through tonight together, is not my list, but it's a compiled list by God through his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said, but my words will never pass away. If you search it out, if you look at all that's going on around our world today, if you pay attention, church, to what the Bible refers to as the signs of Jesus' coming, pay attention. In the book of John, chapter 5:39, Jesus calls for all of us to search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The book of Acts 17:11, it was Bereans who received the word of God with all what? Readiness of mind. But it was to they who searched the scriptures daily, see whether those things are so. So we're going on a trip. And we got the checklist, and mom's going around, maybe dad's going around, maybe your spouse. You're telling your kids, all right, got all these things together, gonna get packed. My son was the worst for going somewhere and leaving something behind. I just hope it's not you. In your own case, don't be left behind. We're going on a trip. We're going to check it off. Well, you look at what the Bible says. You turn to the pages that we've done tonight. You read what the Word of God says. This isn't according to pastor. This isn't pastor's preference. This is the Word of God. A lot of this is, if your Bible has the words of Christ in red, it's Jesus' words. And what is he telling us as a church? Watch and pray. In all that I've shared with you tonight, as an end time checklist, through all the scriptural references that I have used, think about this. Just draw your own conclusion as to just where it is that we as a people, God, especially, people of the name. What we should know where we are in concerns to the prophecies in the scriptures tonight. Think about it. What does the Bible say? Where are we? Is this coronavirus going to take us to the next stage? Total government control? Oh, that's fear-mongering. Okay. Don't read. Better rip a few pages here. Is that going to take us to the place where the mark of the beast comes in? World control? Government control? Is that going to maybe open up some vulnerable nations to an attack of their enemy? This isn't a game. This is real life. Watch and pray. It is Jesus who tells that he's coming as a thief in the night. Let's turn, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. And verse 6, in closing, says this: therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I think one of the scariest things we met a fellow that we were witnessing to in the hospital the other day. He said his dad is dying in this particular case. And he walks up to me and he puts his hand out, and I gave him my elbow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what they're doing now. Well, why should I be concerned? I don't think he's infected. He probably isn't. But what of who he touched and who touched him that touched him and that was in contact with him was in contact with them? And I just have... So now I make my family vulnerable. I make myself vulnerable. I make anybody I come into contact with vulnerable. But it's just a game. Oh, Jesus is coming back. I know. Yeah, my suitcases are out in the shed. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been at church. You know, I don't read my Bible anymore. Don't care. Aren't you ready? Aren't you watching? Aren't you praying? I wonder, you know, is Jesus coming back? Could he be coming back soon? Nobody knows. We read it in the onset. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows the exact day. If you did, if you saw maybe where in history the world sits right now to Jesus' imminent return, it might scare you to death. How fast would we quit playing the game? How fast would we get serious about that altar? How fast would it be that we would perk our ears up and have our eyes looking up and longing for his return? Our need in these end times, church, is not to be so focused on the signs, as I said in the onset. Our need in these closing hours of time should be set upon our making sure that we're ready to go when Jesus comes to get us and take us home. I have an opportunity right now to reach somebody else. I have an opportunity to tell them about the hope that lies within me. I have an opportunity right now, today, to watch and to pray. Let's stand, church. See, all of us at the least should know that according to the Word of God, that Jesus is coming back for his church. And what I want to leave you with tonight is this thought. None of us in our walking with God, church, don't miss this if you miss anything else, should ever be caught unaware in the face of Jesus' return. If anybody, the blood bought, the blood washed, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, living and loving God, we shouldn't be caught unaware. This shouldn't be something that, oh, I'll look and see. And here he is. Watch. Watch and pray. For you know not. Well, Pastor, we went through a checklist. Well, we marked some things off. Just like the Bible says. And finally, it's another mask on your question to consider for yourself. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus, today.
If Jesus should come,
I'm asking God today,
your soul be prepared
to pay attention. with you tonight, just to kind of ice the cake. I get that digital province newspaper, and you know what you see in a lot of the papers today? Tragedy here, tragedy there. And I want to tell you that a misconception of a lot of people is the fact that, you know what? Well, I'm going to be 50, 15, 30, 60, 90. I'm going to die. And I'll be one of the dead in Christ that will rise first. But remembering he's coming back for people that are waiting for him. The misconception is I'm going to be given tomorrow. I'm going to be given next week. Everything's going to be fine. And then people pull out of their driveway, go 16 blocks on the way out of town, and somebody sideswipes them and kills them dead. You have a massive heart attack. Life's tragedy suddenly attacks you. It really struck me what Sister Zotsman told me before church about a pastor's wife. She's 30 years old and she got this coronavirus. And now she's got pneumonia and she's clinging on to her life. They said people over 60. Guess what? We're almost there. The vulnerable, those that have underlying conditions. I don't think that the pastor's wife drinks or smokes or goes around partying. I don't believe she's on drugs or she's addicted. I really don't believe that. It's not going to happen to me. I'm all good. That's the misconception, church. That's why Jesus says you got to watch and pray. You got to make sure you're ready. What if he came tonight? Oh, Pastor, I've heard that years. I've been in the church 38 years. Sister Peter, probably 50 years plus. But what if? Are you packed and ready to go? One song? Yes. God, it's things that are happening in the world today, in the world now. Fire on the altar, never burn up. Fire on the altar, life is a vapor. Today it is. Tomorrow it vanishes away.
Day and night and night and day. Day and night and night and day. Day and night and night and day. Make me a house of prayer.
there's a show that I watched, I think, about 19 men. It was called Scared Straight. I think it's probably even around today. And it would be about young offenders that playing around with almost the chance of them going to prison for a long, long time. And I was just a kid, but it scared me. And people say, Pastor, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to scare you straight. I want to see you in heaven. But the fact of the matter is, church, there's a lot of us that around us and about us and among us, some not even here tonight, that won't be there. And the most saddest thing I remember in one of the episodes back in the world, I'm not trying to illuminate the world, but there was this one young kid. He was in one of those meetings where the inmates would go after these young offenders and try to scare them straight. And at the end of the program, it showed this young boy walking into a federal prison for a crime that he had committed. And all the men that were in that meeting were in that prison, and they just went like this and they walked away from him. You didn't have to die. You don't have to be lost. Jesus died for you. I don't have to walk around in fear, but you know what? Perfect love casts out all fear. Get as close to Jesus Christ as you can, and I don't have to be afraid of what's going on. Being scared straight, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to God, period. Watch and pray. God bless you. Thank you for being faithful to the church.